Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward. I am so excited to have on Vivian, our rich BFF, to the podcast today. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Thanks for having me, Shan.
I have been, well, we met each other about a year ago at like a creator dinner.
Yeah.
And you were so very dynamic. You're exactly the same in person as you are online. You're really
engaging. I like to hear that when people tell me that.
Because I mean, you meet some of these people and like you never really know. But your content is all about, how would you describe it? I think of it as like money, but in an easy to understand, coming from a friend type of sense. Like you're not reading it out of a textbook.
Yeah, exactly. So historically, personal finance has been super male, pale, stale. Like it's a guy in a suit lecturing you. It sucks. It's either your dad yelling at you at the kitchen table or just like a really horrible experience. Whereas I find that the easiest way for me to learn something is to have one of my friends explain it.
Yes.
In a way that like I understand. And that's where I feel most comfortable going to for advice, for recommendations. And I wanted to teach finance and about money in that same way that we get all of our beauty recommendations, what restaurant we should go to, where we should travel to on vacation, because when it comes from someone who you see as your peer and as your friend, it's a lot more digestible than if it's coming from someone who's wagging their finger at you.
Oh, totally. And it's even in the language. I love how I always describe that as like a happy hour concept where like if we sometimes talk about topics on Fluently Forward, like what's going on with Jeffrey Epstein? I'm like, I'm not going to be like, he was a renowned man, like all that NPR language. I'm going to be like, he was a creepy little fuck who did blah, blah, blah. And then it's just like, it's easier to understand. Explain like I'm five. And you recently started a podcast, Net Worth and Chill.
Yeah.
How did you come up with that name? I love it.
You know, I have always been very like punny. Mm-hmm. I love a good pun. And one of my favorite hobbies is Netflix and chilling. I love sitting on my couch and watching
fucking
TV.
Or yeah. Or like Netflix and chilling.
I'm actually someone who's like, can we finish this episode and then we can
do
the deed? But, you know, I always thought about people being interested in like the celebrities' net worths and being you know, XYZ person is worth $1 billion. And I was like, how interesting would it be to talk about money and pop culture in a way that ties it back to being smart with your own finances, but in a cool, chill way. So it's not overwhelming.
I love that. So what's your like number one go-to financial tip that like, if you see someone on the street and you're like, I can only tell you one thing to do that's going to help you out. What is that?
I beg people, especially women, to negotiate for a raise every single year.
That's a really good idea. I always say about myself, and my female friends always say this, and oddly enough, I heard this comparison when Riley Reid was talking about how before she was a porn star, she was a stripper.
Yeah.
And like, trust me, this will make sense, but she would always say, I was so bad at being a stripper because you have to be a shark and I'm a dolphin. And I'm like, me and all my female friends, like we're dolphins, you know, it's like so hard. So do you suggest like negotiation courses or like reading off of a script? Like, how do you even get started with that?
You know, I think it's a lot of practice. And this is something that I learned from my mentor, who happened to be the only other Asian woman, only other Asian person on the desk when I started as a trader on Wall Street. She told me something that I will never forget. She said, you can only save and invest as much as you earn. You can always earn more money.
Mm.
And I was like, oh shit. Like, okay. Like that's real advice. And she said, regardless of who you are, what you do, you need to be asking for a raise every single year. And that is in a down recession market. That is in an up, you know, high economic good times market. Like, it does not matter. You should be asking for somewhere between 10 to 15% every year. Am I saying you're going to get that every single year? No. But if you don't ask, you're not going to get. And the squeaky wheel always gets the grease. So what I recommend is actually just setting aside a time every 2 or 3 months throughout the year with your boss to go over your goals, things you've hit, things you've accomplished, and then reminding them gently, you know, I would really, really expect, given my performance, a raise at mid-year, at end of year. And this is important because everybody likes to ask for a raise come October, November, December.
Yeah.
And your boss is being inundated with requests from you, the guy sitting next to you, the girl sitting across from you. What makes you special? Your boss doesn't care. Like, he's getting the same ask. She's getting the same ask from everybody. But if you've been the person who's set goals, hit those goals, talked about money for the entire year, not in an annoying way, but like just reminder every 2 or 3 months, your boss knows that's important to you.
Yeah.
And that if they want to keep you, if you're a good employee and you've done a great job and they want to keep you around, they're going to have to pay you.
it's so important. And I've seen people at my, because before I did this full time, mm-hmm. I was working in marketing. Mm-hmm. And like, I just assumed like you work hard, they like give you a bonus. Absolutely not. Like you have to advocate for yourself like every month. I'm a dolphin. I was horrible at it. Yeah. But I saw my other coworkers just like take off because they were so good at doing that. So yeah, it's important.
And I don't like the phrase of like, we are dolphins, because I think like, we can all cosplay sharks for a second. Mm. I don't think you necessarily need to be a shark in your daily life to be a successful, thoughtful, kind, generous, you know, person who is good to other people and loved by others. You can be a dolphin.
Make it so black and white, right? They're like, you either have to be like a George Clooney, like man, or you're like a woman with the children. And you're right. It's like, exactly. You can dip
in. You don't have to be that. But like, I think all of us can put on our little shark disguises for those key moments, because statistically speaking, the outcomes are better.
Dude, so much better.
So much better.
And like, money is life. Like, so your podcast is great. And you also do such great, like, short form nugget TikTok videos. Like, your content's fantastic. So everybody should check it out, because the more you know about something, like, the less scared you are to, like, check your bank account.
Exactly.
And I mean, we're going to be talking about super sharks today. I'm so excited to have you on to talk about the Kardashians, which listeners of the podcast will know, like, I have a rule where I don't talk about the Kardashians on here.
Where did this hate stem from, Shannon?
It's not hate. It's more of me being like, they want us to talk about them.
Yeah, they do.
And I don't want to reward bad behavior.
Okay.
So, like, anytime they, like, do something and you know they're doing it, like, you know Kim was, like, ooh, wearing the Maryland dress. Like, people will talk about mm-hmm. it and they'll be angry. I'm like, oh, fuck you. I'm just, like, not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, supply and demand. I want to cut off your supply, basically. Yeah. So that's how I think people should. I think that same way with cancel culture, too. When, like, Andrew Tate does something and then a million YouTubers make a video about it.
And it's like, we hate him. We shouldn't be talking about him. We're giving him a platform.
So anyway, but, like, we'll talk about the Kardashians today. Because I want to talk about it if we're talking about, like, scandalous things people don't know. Mm-hmm. And, like, everybody already knows how I feel about them. So from your perspective, as someone who knows the ins and outs of money, you know people who, like, have a lot of money, have a little money, how people flaunt their money, how mm-hmm. they act with it. When you see the Kardashian family, in terms of finance, what do you think about them and how they're doing, like, their current finger on the pulse?
You know, I think, frankly, what I've heard also through the industry, having, you know, representation and management.
Oh my God, do you have insider tea?
It's not like a blind item, or like, it's not like something that juicy, but I will say they are well known, especially Kim is well known for working her butt off.
And being really nice, damn it. Like, I do, like, hear the best things about
Kim. She is actually a very, very hard worker. And while I won't say she deserves everything she has, because I think there's certainly tons of other people who work very hard, but, like, she isn't, like, a Hollywood drama queen, like, type person. Like, people like her. People enjoy working with her. That said, I think what they have done really smart as a family is surrounded themselves with a lot of very, very smart people and a lot of very responsible people.
So who's if you want to do well, right? Remember when everybody, Trump was about to become president and everyone's like, yo, he's an idiot. And he's like, I am an idiot, but I'm going to hire the best people. Yeah. And I'm like, is that just how people get ahead? Like, they hire the best people. So who's, like, a good person to hire as a celebrity? Like, is it, if you could only pick having the best, would it be publicist, lawyer, manager?
Business manager. So I have an agent, a manager, an attorney, and then I have a publicist and a business manager. And the business manager encompasses people like an accountant, a bookkeeper, not even just the accountant for, like, the tax season, but, like, someone who looks at your taxes and how you are making deductions or your expenses throughout the year to help you optimize those.
And those are, like, her private jet is a write-off, isn't it? Because it's for business. Mm-hmm. So insane. Okay.
Transportation, company transportation. Because my guess is that it's not owned by Kim Kardashian. It's owned by Skin. Or
KKW
Skins.
KKW Beauty.
Exactly. Yeah. It's owned by a company that she is a large equity holder in. The same way that they all have G-Wagons. It's because the G-Wagons are over 6,000 pounds. So you can depreciate that asset entirely in the first year and write it off, versus a standard car that you can only take the depreciation on over a 5 to 10 year period.
Wait, is that a thing? Like, do cars go into business being like, oh my God, we could have been, how much did you, wait, 6,000 pounds?
Yeah, so
If a, like, car, European pounds?
No. So if a car is over 6,000 pounds in curb weight,
okay,
it is considered heavy machinery. And this was put into the tax code largely for industrial commercial workers. So like people who buy tractors and trucks and forklifts. But a lot of brands have now caught on and they make vehicles deliberately over 6,000 pounds so that people can write them off.
Wait, I always wondered why the G-Wagons were riding in my G-Wagon, as they say.
If you actually go on to the Mercedes-Benz of like Torrance, California, or like Temecula or like Calabasas, or like major like hotspots,
yeah.
There's actually a page that is like, oh,
6,000 and over? Like,
yeah. That's like, if you want to, you know, take this deduction, make sure you flag it to your sales associate. They'll help you with the paperwork.
Oh, my God. I wonder if it was like 5,000, like 980 pounds. And they're like, we got to add a little chunk in the truck.
Yeah.
It's got to be like exactly XYZ.
Yeah.
Huh. What do you know of any other like twisted things like that? Or it's like, oh, the G-Wagon is actually a celebrity item because it's so expensive. Or do they do something like that with mansions? Or I don't know.
I know there's a fun topic that we're going to come up with Chris's.
Yeah.
So,
should we start?
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah, I have little nuggets that I have prepared to share.
Oh, I'm ready for your nuggets. And we have like a bunch of different Kardashian kind of like financial scams and schemes that they get into. Let's start with the church because
yeah.
I mean, that's the spiciest one on here. So, basically, this is something that has been going on for a while, but I think. What can I say? TikTok is really blowing the lid off of things because I think it's that happy hour best friend concept mm-hmm. where I'm sure I once saw an article, Kris Jenner's church was incorporated, and I was like, next. But if like a kid's explaining it to me on TikTok, I'll pay attention. So what do you know basically about this church that Kris Jenner co-founded? Let me bring it up here.
I find it funny that the church is like CCC. You mentioned on my podcast how she basically branded all of her kids with K letter names. But
how
she
freaky, by the way, to like weird. Be pregnant and be like, okay, it's got to start with the K. Like you're marketing in utero. Like that's
yes.
so wild. Yeah.
I mean, she's always been, devil works hard, but Kris works harder. It's funny because it probably should have been the KK.
I know, you know she wanted to put K in there, and then
yeah.
she was like, if it's triple, there's like no fucking way, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's the California Community Church, and she co-founded it in 2009.
Yeah, and so I actually have a theory about this, because I have management, and typically in management commissions and fees, you pay your agent 10%, your management 10%, and your attorney 5%, and that is what I pay. So a quarter of my business off the top is gone. And if you'll notice,
that's crazy, by the way, to think about.
Yeah, it's quite a lot. The donations, we'll call them that, that the members of this church give, oh, coincidentally, 10%. Similar
yeah.
to a Hollywood
a managerial
management
fee.
And as we all know, all of the Kardashian sisters are managed by Mama. And typically, either your manager is parked at a management agency. So like my manager works at Range Media, or they are self-employed, or they are employees of the actual creator's business. So think about it this way. If Kim has Kris on payroll, she's giving up 10% of her business, but then Kim has to pay payroll taxes on top of that. And Kim doesn't want to pay those taxes. And Kris doesn't want her daughter paying those taxes. And if Kris, you know, works at a management agency, she has to give up part of that commission to someone else. She's not going to do that. She's got some of the biggest stars in the world with her DNA. She's not doing that. And if she works for herself, she is going to have to pay quite a lot in income taxes from the jump every single year. And Kris is not about paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of paying Kris a 10% management fee, each of her daughters gives 10% of their income
to this church.
And why are churches special? Because they are nonprofits. They are registered 501c3s, meaning they do not pay federal, state, or local income taxes or local taxes. On top of that, I don't know what role Kris pays or what role Kris plays at the church, but ministers and pastors of the church can actually have their primary residence written off of their income.
Mm. Yeah, Chris like does like a sermon once a year.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm a pastor.
I'm a pastor, you know?
And she can have that written off. And on top of that, if she is the executor or the chairman or a very high level role, she will probably have a say in determining what her pay from this church is.
Mm.
And again, there are benefits and, you know, to that as well, because if Chris knows she's going to make a bunch of money from something else that year, she can lower her income as much as possible from the church. Mm. And then the next year, she's not making a bunch of money. She's like, I can increase my income. This allows her to pay as few taxes as humanly possible.
Well, you always hear about people doing sketchy stuff with the church and like churches don't have to pay for XYZ, but I never really knew what it was. So I think they pay property tax, or do they not even pay that?
That I would have to double check. I think they do have to pay property taxes, but for many, many types of tax, they are exempt.
Basically, like when everyone's throwing money in the basket, they're not giving 30% of that to the government. They're
not,
you know,
even a little bit.
Well, what's even weirder too is that, right? So she co-founded this CCC, California Community Church, in 2009. And not only is it weird in the sense of the money, but the church itself is strange. Like, even their motto, they say, bring your mess, we're messy too. I can tell you, like, my churches growing up never said that. They were like, be holy. Yeah. Be holy or die.
Yeah.
And they encourage people. They're like, oh, like, you can be, like, relaxed in this church. It's totally fine. It's in Calabasas, and it's close to where they live. But the funniest thing is, like, the Kardashian-Jenner clan, they go to Hillsong or, like, Kanye West. Like, they're not even going to this church. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because it's kind of like this run-down, shoddy little...
It's in a strip mall.
It's in a strip mall, and they don't even really host the services there. There's a hotel down the street, and they'll rent out the ballroom there and have their services.
That's a write-off.
Yes, you're right. And even the services, which is just like, it's a few people like playing guitar, it's like a typical service, they make members of the church pay $1,000 a month to be a member, which I have been to many churches in my day growing up, never heard of that.
No,
$1,000 a month, that's rent. Like, can you live in the church?
That's 4 Equinox memberships.
Isn't like, that bizarre?
What are you doing?
Praying.
Yeah.
And like singing or something. And then there was also weird stuff too, where one of the preachers, his name was Brad Johnson, he was handpicked by Kris Jenner from a Starbucks. And he was like a...
Wait, like he was preaching in a Starbucks?
She just like met him at a Starbucks and he became the preacher. Okay. And he used to run this church that like 4,000 people attended. And then he had this cheating scandal where he cheated on his wife with someone. All of these people have like such a messed up past. It's like, I thought you were supposed to be
holy. I guess they're really sticking to that bring your mess.
Bring your mess. He's like, bring my mess and my mistress and my secret family. I'm bringing them all to the church. And they actually had a tax scandal earlier. So they had previously made their name something else.
Oh, they had tax liens, right?
What was it?
They weren't paying their taxes. Like the taxes that
the very small few thing that
taxes
they have
that
to
they
do.
Did owe, they weren't paying them. They had a tax lien. They ended up getting, they ended up settling it. But then Chris was like, we should definitely rebrand.
Yeah, so they just changed the name, which is like absolutely wild. So you would say your hypothesis, alleged opinion only, but I kind of could see it being true, is that every year each of the Kardashian Jenners says, I'm going to donate 10% of what I make to the church.
Yep.
And then Chris goes, great, I'll be taking that from you because we've got a little handshake deal that's how you pay me.
Yeah.
And it's always so funny because people are like, how weird to pay your mom takes your 10%. And I'm like, no, she's funneling it back to them.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Listen, I think obviously this is all speculation, but
bring it. My favorite. When somebody does like one of those prefaces, I'm like,
no, obviously this is all speculation, but like, Chris wants the best for her daughters, and she knows that...
And not her son. She's like, fuck you, Rob, anyway.
And she doesn't want them paying taxes. She doesn't want to pay taxes herself. And by doing so, if you actually think about it, right, her daughters annually combined probably bring in $100, $150 million. 10% of that is 10 to 15 mil just to her. That gets paid out.
I feel like they bring in more than 150 million.
I mean, I could be totally off. I have no idea.
But I mean, isn't that wild? And I have almost this theory where like, and I don't think it's entirely true, but I think if everybody actually paid their taxes and they didn't try to like weasel out of everything, all of these rich people, I don't know if we would be as mad at rich people. Because think about it. If you have a really rich person and they're actually paying their taxes of like $30 million back into the country and like that's being used really well, maybe we would be a blooming, blossoming society. It's just wild to me. Let me tell you a little bit about Next Evo Naturals and their CBD products. I take Next Evo Naturals. You've probably seen me taking them on Instagram. I have two particular use cases for CBD. One, when I've had too much coffee and I get the jitters, I take a couple CBD gummies. And then also, sometimes you wake up in a foul mood and you don't know why. And for some reason, taking CBD just always makes me feel de-stressed and in a much better mood. So I've been taking Next Evo Naturals for, I want to say, about a year now, and I absolutely love them. I love the taste. I love the smart sorb CBD that they use. So basically, this means that you're getting faster absorption than any other product. 4 times faster than other products. They also have a great deal for Fluently Forward listeners. So if you want to upgrade your CBD, go to nextevo.com/fluently to get 20% off your first order of $40 or more. That's 20% off $40 or more at nextevo.com/fluently.
I do think that, like, even all the way back to, like, the trickle-down economics type days.
What was it, like, trickle-down something up? Trickle-down trumped up. Wasn't that something?
Oh.
Look at me trying to, like, say that I know something. I feel like Kamala Harris said
that. Well, I think that, like, we have always thought if we give tax breaks, if we write our tax code in a way that benefits rich people, they're going to do just that. They're going to pay their taxes. They're going to give back to the community.
Yeah, they'll make more donations.
Bro. We are giving them way too much credit. I am so sorry, but no, a large part of the reason why they got so rich, to your point of dolphins and sharks, is because they are sharks. They are never going to turn around and be like, let me do something good. Like, there are very few instances of that. And even when they do try to do good things, sometimes it's a shoot, like, you know, a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that there will always be a rich person paying the smartest accountant, tax person in the room to find them a loophole to avoid taxes.
Yeah.
And it won't be until we change tax code legislation that it actually gets better.
Isn't that wild? Would you say, knowing so much about finance, is there one country in the entire world where you point to it and you're like, ooh, they have a really good system? I've just always wondered that. Like, I know, for example, in, like, Scandinavia, I think the taxes are, like, what, 50%?
Yeah.
And I've seen photos, like, the jails are nice. The roads are nice.
The, like, jails look like hostels. Yes. Like, they're nice. The prisoners get to leave every day and, like, go to work study.
Yeah.
You know, I think Scandinavia does a good job. You know, like, just, like, to your point, like, Norway, Sweden, like, all of those countries, I would say, do a pretty decent job. But there's a reason why America is called the land of opportunity.
Mm.
Because there's no place where someone can make it from nothing the same way that you can here. Like, if there was a list recently released of, like, top 10 richest people on the planet, 7 out of 10 were US-based.
Well, here's my question. Do you believe those lists? Because I'm always like, I bet there's someone out there with so much oil money you can't even comprehend it. And they're paying people to say, you keep my name off the internet.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Okay. So these are, like, richest people that, like, want to be known as the richest.
Yes. But also, I think richest wealth in that way has become harder and harder to hide, because for you to have your business keep growing, typically you either need to go public or the government will get involved and be like, hey, like, what's going on? There may be, like, some trust busting that needs to happen if you're trying to merge with, like, another company, whatever. And the people will look at your financials. And once that's public, it's game over for you. People know how rich you are.
Yeah. Damn, interesting. Mm-hmm. See, that would be a great episode I would love to do one day, like the secret rich people, you know, and then I'm dead the next week.
Yeah, literally.
That's the end of the podcast. Okay, well, talking about people who want to be on lists and want to be recognized, this was one of my favorite scandals, was when Forbes basically said Kylie Jenner is a billionaire, because they love saying who's about to become a billionaire. And then it came out that she wasn't exactly a billionaire. And Forbes put out this article. I mean, there's, like, an image and everything. They say, inside Kylie Jenner's web of lies and why she's no longer a billionaire, which is kind of funny because it's like, bro, you're the one who said she was.
Yeah,
and now you're like, we retract. But basically, there was this whole slam piece on Forbes where they were saying, and they read her to filth. They said everything. But they were basically saying that the Kardashians, mainly led by Chris, but Kylie was in on it too. But Chris was the one saying, come on, let's go. They did everything to get Forbes to push Kylie to this billionaire status. Yeah. They wanted it so bad. And this was all when she sold her Kylie Cosmetics deal to this beauty company. And the deal was valued at $1.2 billion. And I thought this quote, just as we get into it, really pissed me off. I'm curious for your sense on it. They said, Kylie is a modern day icon with an incredible sense of the beauty consumer. And that always rages me because I'm like, she doesn't know the beauty consumer. She doesn't know anything. She doesn't know how much a loaf of bread is. She doesn't know how much a healthcare plan costs. I just hate when people are like, oh, these celebrities are so good because they really understand the average person. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, you can tell me that they do a lot of things well. They know how to walk in front of paparazzi well. They know how to, like, eat caviar well. You can't tell me that she's such a good businesswoman because she understands the average girl in America.
No.
Like, that's what gets me so mad. It's like, if you're going to be eons rich in a mountain, be rich on a mountain in quiet. Don't, like, also try to, like, be like, oh, I'm just like you. Yeah. I understand you. Get the fuck out of here. Like, I'll punch you on this. I don't know why I'm so mad. It's just like...
Well, you made a good point. You know, you mentioned this when we were chatting on my podcast. Yeah. Like, we feel like all of these celebrities, like, they go and get plastic surgery. They get those vampire facials. They get all of their cellulite basically, like, zapped off with a laser. And then they're like, buy my lip kit. Yeah. Buy my shapewear. Buy my workout program. And it's like, you didn't do those things. Like, you did not use your lip kit. You did not do a workout program. You did not wear your shapewear. You literally went and got thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work that can only be done by a licensed professional, and then tried to play it off like this magical cure that you created and are profiting off of is going to be what helps us.
To me, it's like you can sell me something or you can lie to me, but you can't sell me a lie, right? Yeah. You can sell me a lip kit.
Yeah.
Or you could lie and say, I've never gotten my lips done. But what you can't do is say, I've never gotten my lips done. I did it all through my kit and by my kit. Like, that's too much for
me. Yeah, yeah.
Either sell me or either lie. But, like, when you combine it, it's like you're being so actively nefarious. And I just, like, don't fuck with that, you know?
And, and for them to talk about inclusivity and body positivity is, like, you guys literally caused an entire generation of, like, body dysmorphia.
Yeah. So you know what I do sometimes? I Google Kylie Jenner's old lips and I zoom in and I'm like, literally me right now. Yeah. I'm like, could I have hers? But I couldn't because you have to go to the best person.
Yeah.
And they have to do it in tiny doses and you have to go every week and you can go every week because it's not like you've got a 9-to-5 job. So like your job is to have those perfect lips. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway, so...
back to this billionaire
list. Yeah, back to this billionaire list. Like, this is what made her basically become a billionaire. She puts out these... lip kits, and she starts this beauty company, which is now is like a skincare company. You know she's not using that skincare. And what was really interesting was that Forbes was basically saying that they have this decades-long obsession with net worth. And they compared the Kardashians to Donald Trump, basically saying that both Donald Trump and the Kardashian Jenners would like reach out to Forbes, invite Forbes into the mansion, invite Forbes to look at the papers, like, come on, Forbes, boost me up. And this is my question for you, especially in this world of, you have some people who are so rich you can't comprehend it. And then you have other people like Sydney Sweeney, where you see her face think that she's rich, but she's always like, I'm not as rich as you would think. And then you have people like you, me, other TikTokers, where you see them on your phone every day and you're like, oh my God, like they must be rich. Mm-hmm. And you and I were talking about this idea of who's held to certain money standards. Like, I'll see people online. There's this girl I follow, Olivia, and she did, like, a day in my life in Soho, and she was like, oh, I got a coffee. It was, like, $7. And people were like, you're ruining New York. Like, you're pushing people out. It's, like, rich assholes like you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this is a girl who got a coffee. Look up to the sky. Look at all of the penthouses.
Yeah.
Go up to the Upper East Side and look at everybody who has, like, a $4 million. She's renting a place in Hoboken, and you think she's the fucking problem? Like, that makes me so mad. Like,
just wanted a latte.
Like, right? So I find it so funny that some people, like, everybody hates Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. I understand that. But Rihanna's a billionaire, and they're like, but we love her, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And people will be like, oh my God, I'm so mad at this, like, influencer, shit, like, for fast fashion. But then they're like, oh my God, Kim Kardashian looks so good at the Met Gala. And I'm like, where are your ethics? Like, do you hate people with money or certain people with money? So I'm always surprised when these celebrities like Trump and the Kardashians are always trying to say, look at how rich I am. do you think people give notorious figures a pass when their wealth becomes so big you can't even comprehend it?
Yeah, and I also think a big push for that is the whole, like, wealth begets wealth.
Now, what, thing. What does the word begets mean?
Yeah, so basically, like, when you are, like, medium rich, people hate you because they aspire to be that, but it feels very far away. However, the person who's a, like myself, I am very transparent. I'm like, hey, I hit net worth status of $1 million. I was a millionaire by 27. And
like
people,
me like becoming attracted to you after you say that, I'm like,
did she just get hotter? But like people see that and they're like, why is this girl bragging about how rich she is on the internet? I'm like, $1 million net worth does not mean I have $1 million to spend in my bank account.
Yeah.
And then people are like billionaire status, which is an insurmountable amount of wealth. Like
I've sat down and tried to wrap my head around it.
You can't.
I can barely wrap my head around 10 million, 100 million.
Because you know what it is? A millionaire is infinitely closer to being homeless than they are to being a billionaire. And people don't get that.
Oh.
And when people see billionaire, in our heads, we start to ascribe success, hard work, and other good traits with that word because we know so few.
Yeah.
And in our society, we equate net worth to human value, which is like kind of fucked up. But because that word feels, it's like hitting the peak of the mountain, people aren't mad about it. People are like, oh, wow, what an accomplishment.
Yeah, it's whereas, like breaking through to do something. You
whereas
know?
Like people, everybody in their life knows of someone who is a millionaire, who knows of someone who is rich. And they typically hate that person because they're jealous. Whereas like you can't even, like your jealousy can't even fathom $1 billion.
Yeah.
And by being on the cover of Forbes as a billionaire, Kylie gets put into a different category of thought leader of this very exclusive group.
How mad does it make you? Like, you just know she's not a business leader.
No, not at all. I mean, you've seen her speak publicly. It's embarrassing. She's like, yeah, this is the year we're experiencing things. Like, okay, get it. We get it. Like, you're rich. You don't do anything. But like,
rise and shine. Like, and it's like, what?
Yeah. And like, it's so funny to me because they want to be that so bad, but we also forget, like, Kylie's very young.
Yeah.
She had a baby at, what, 20, 21?
20, it was very young. Let's see.
If we knew any other person in our lives that had that life trajectory without that money, we would be concerned for them.
Yeah.
Like, we literally have shows on MTV called Teen Mom.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, for Kylie, because she has money, we automatically assume she's smarter. We assume she's more savvy. And she's not. She just has a better team because she can afford to have one.
Yeah.
And I just think that when people see that level of wealth, they assume someone is good. Like, it's just a positive connotation.
Well, also, it's so big, right? The bigger something is, the more you're like, oh, the hell am I going to do about it? You know? Like, I'm trying to fight this medical bill because it was, like, an incorrect claim. And I'm like, this whole healthcare system. And I'm like, what am I going to do about healthcare? All I can do is fight this claim. And it's like, well, what can I do about Kylie being a billionaire? Nothing, but I could probably say to someone online, like, fuck your fast fashion.
Yeah, but, like, think about it this way. Think about these two headlines. Kylie Jenner, billionaire, versus okay. Kylie Jenner has $457 million. You hate the second headline so much more because it feels like a lot of money that is undeserved. And you're like, oh, all this girl did was, like, make some lip kits and, like, get her lips done, whatever. $457 million feels like a huge number, right? Whereas $1 billion doesn't even feel like a number anymore.
Well, it's like that thing with, like, the little kids where they're like, do you want, like, one big marshmallow or, like, 1,000 tiny ones?
And they always want the tiny ones.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, my God, well, she only has $1
billion. Yeah, 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 yeah.
She's
yeah,
got
yeah.
400 of the million, which is absolutely wacko to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thankfully, she's not a fucking billionaire. So, like, what it came out basically was that for the past, and this wasn't like one, you know, sheet that they sent in that had the wrong number. They had deliberately over years been inflating the numbers of the sales that this like Kylie Beauty thing was coming up with. And it just, I think they ended up, let me try to find the actual number, but they put her down. So they revoked her billionaire status. And this was the year before she became a billionaire. They tried to say that she had $307 million that she had made that year. And it came out that she had made less than $110 million, which is still absolutely obscene. Yeah. But they tried to inflate it times three.
Well, I think people also forget that, like, they think net worth is, like, how much money you have, and that's not what that is. Net worth is very easily defined as, like, your assets minus your liabilities. So, like, what you own.
So, like, your house. That, versus all those what G-wagons. You own. Okay.
So, like, if you have a company that is making a really, really high amount of revenue, you're not looking at that number. You're looking at the profit number. Mm-hmm. You still got to pay for all of the cost of goods sold, that labor, the marketing, all that stuff. And I'm sure, and certainly we like shit on Kylie because it was such like a covered like moment in pop culture and like people can understand her business. But like businesses inflate their numbers all the time. Like they literally will just change accounting practices to make the numbers look bigger.
Do they say that their income is more? Or do they say that their liabilities are less? What do they typically do when they're inflating?
You know, I think it depends more so on timing, actually. There are different accounting methods that you can either do first in, first out, or last in, first out. And basically, it's a way to estimate how much you've made and assign that revenue to a certain year. So it's possible that like she could have been inflating her number being like, oh, this is what I made last year. But that last year also counted pretty much the back half of the year before it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So like it really depends on timing. And I'd also say that like if they've been doing this for years over years over years, it may not even necessarily be just like inflating, but it's just maybe not be like standard accounting practices. Mm-hmm. And like Forbes, I'm guessing, wants to go off of standard accounting practices. So they're comparing apples to oranges across the board, or sorry, apples to apples across the board versus apples to oranges.
Yeah. Isn't that so, this sick, twisted world of people trying to like squeeze things, and it's all just for vanity. Like this was in,
think about that new crime headline.
Are you talking about the woman that you told me about yesterday? Yes. Who she had a startup called Frank.
Frank. Okay. So yeah. This, I can't remember her first name, but her last name is Jarvis. And she created this startup called Frank. And the purpose of this startup was to help young people pay down their student loans faster and, you know, essentially eliminate student debt faster. And she said that she had like a gazillion users. And JP Morgan looked at these financial documents that she had edited. And they were like, all right, seems good. This seems like a great program. And we want to buy this. We'll give you $175 million. Yay. Then they actually, as they're going through this like process of buying the company, they're doing this due diligence. And they're like, this woman has like 300,000 users. Mm. And that's it.
So then what happens? They must sue her, right? Because they lied. They sued
her. Yeah. And I think she was actually just indicted or taken to prison or like something just happened to her.
And it's not a Norwegian prison, I'll tell you that. No, it certainly is not. Here.
Like, and you know, going back to the Forbes list, last year, I'm kind of proud, kind of embarrassed to share this, but like.
You're a Forbes cover girl.
Well, I was on the Forbes 30 under 30 list. And a lot of my friends sent me a link to an article that was like Forbes 30 under 30, like pipeline to prison. Because
your friend sent you that?
Yes, because Elizabeth Holmes from Theranos, Sam Bankman-Fried from FTX, and now this girl from Frank.
How fun. I'll be doing an episode on you in a year. I'll be like Vivian Scandals.
Yeah, literally. But all of them were these unicorn babies that everyone was like, oh my God, they're going to be the next visionary to change the world. They were all on the Forbes 30 under 30 list, and they all turned out to be frauds.
Well, I think maybe it's just like everybody's so eager to be a frickin' visionary. And it's just, to me, it's like, it's the same people who are like, I have to be famous. So like, it's fine in the middle. It's great in the middle. Yeah. But so many people, I think there's just something off in their brain where they're like, no, not only do I have to be successful and the best, but I also have to be some kind of freaky genius, you know? And I feel like that's the
It's vanity. Very much like if you're not first, you're last, Ricky Bobby style. Like, I have to be number one and I have to be so stand out, but at what cost? Like to a point where like you can't even feasibly do it, you fake it.
Who would you say has been the last person to be a legitimate, like I feel like Bezos and Gates, right? People talk mm-hmm. about them. Who do you think was the last legitimate non-fraud person to be like, whoa, they're really doing it. Like, is it Zuckerberg?
You know, obviously there are the tech people, right? The Zuckerbergs.
Evan Spiegel, right?
The one Evan Spiegel. Not really. sorry. You know, I think the CEO of TikTok does a really nice job. But I want to actually highlight someone who's not in the tech space.
Oh, okay.
I think Sarah Blakely from Spanx.
Okay.
Really, really revitalized and was the first person to really tackle shapewear. And she did it in a interesting way. She actually started cutting the feet off of pantyhose and did that for a year to build up Spanx before she even told anyone she was doing this. And recently, Spanx was sold. She was minted a billionaire.
Damn.
And she gave every single one of her employees $10,000 and 2 first-class round-trip tickets to anywhere they wanted in the world.
Oh, how nice is that? Wait, what's her name again?
Sarah Blakely.
Shout out to you.
Yeah, shout out, Sarah.
And they recently started making, like, Spanx swimwear. Maybe that wasn't so recent, but I've been seeing that. I mean, Spanx is like Kleenex, you know?
Spanx is, like, the OG. Like, even, like, when people talk about, like, shapewear that is not Spanx, they'll be like, oh, pass me my Spanx.
Yes, yes. And how cool is that? You know what I always wonder with companies like that? What was the second runner-up name? Like, if it wasn't Spanx, yeah. Was it going to be like Tights or like Hoist or something?
Yeah. Hoist Spanx, is a good one.
Yeah, there we go. Sarah, call me up. You could do a little, I don't know, discount line or something.
This episode is sponsored by ZocDoc. And you know, here on Fluently Forward, we sometimes say, I can feel things in my butt and in my gut, and that's how I know that it's true. But sometimes you feel things in your butt and in your gut, and it's actually a sign you need to go to the doctor, okay? So let me tell you a little bit about ZocDoc. I've been using ZocDoc for years, and I typically have been using them on desktop the same way that I browse crazydaysandnights.net. But they have a free app now, and this free app can help you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. They treat almost every condition under the sun. This has been great for me because, you know, I've moved all over Chicago and Texas and California and Florida and New York and ooh, and everywhere. And every time I move, I can't just call up my mom and say, hey, who's our guy that we go see? And sometimes, you know, maybe you're new at a job and you don't want to turn to your coworker who's like the only person you know in the city and get a recommendation for who to go to for a pap smear. So if you want to find any a dermatologist, a podiatrist, a OBGYN, you can go over to ZocDoc and you can find the right doctor for you and you can book it in the app that day. I mean, I have such luck on ZocDoc being able to book these appointments quickly. It's just a really seamless process. So go to ZocDoc.com/fluently, download the ZocDoc app for free, and then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That is ZocDoc.com/fluently, ZocDoc.com/fluently.
Okay, so let's get back to the last few different, like, scammy things that they do here, because speaking of different things that people are known for, the Kardashians came up in a way where now they have this legendary billionaire status. Now they're kind of like invited to the Met Gala. They're kind of in this celebrity circle. But they have always been given this kind of vibe of like a trashy reality star influencer. And they still have that because Kim has still been doing these Instagram giveaways that confuse so many people. And I've seen influencers do this where they're posing on the stairs or on the driveways with like designer bags all around them. And they're like, enter this giveaway, blah, blah, blah. Being in the finance world, before we get into how this actually works, when you see posts like that online, does something go off in your head? Are you like looking for hashtag ad? Can you kind of suss out what a scam is?
Yeah, I don't think they're scams, but I do think a lot of, we'll call them just broad-based influencers, do not follow FTC guidelines the way they should.
And that's basically what, putting hashtag ad when you
do
that?
Yeah, being really obvious and, you know, clear that something is a paid partnership and is an ad. And like people will be like, is this an ad on some of my videos? I'm like, what gave it away? Hashtag ad or paid partnership or the part where I said, I'm working with XYZ brand. And I'm like, I make it so clear because I'm not trying to go to prison over some brand deal.
Yeah.
Like, hell no. And I think with these giveaways, people assume like, oh, wow, amazing. Like, these influencers are finally giving back to their communities. They're giving us something. We're getting
something. Yeah, like they're coming out of their pocket. The $100,000 gift card. Yeah.
It's not. How this actually works is these brands are paying for advertising because, or they're typically paying for social following. What they'll do is like, they're like, oh, like, you know, Kim, we'll give you $250,000 to post about us and we'll give away the free product. You need to ask people to make sure they're following you so it feels organic, but also follow our sketchy ass brand.
Yeah.
Or I guess like one that I can really like think of is like Kylie and like Sugar Bear Hair.
Yeah.
She's like,
they've had so many scandals.
Yeah. They're like giving away a year long supply of Sugar Bear Hair and, you know, $10,000. Like Kylie is not giving you $10,000. Sugar Bear Hair is giving you those gummies and they're also giving you the $10,000. Kylie is asking you to go and follow that page. And that's what you're doing. And that is increasing their social count, which is valuable because then when they create content, you're going to see it in your feed.
Well, here's the thing. Is it valuable? So a lot of these giveaways that the Kardashians do, Scott Disick is the one partnered up with them.
I know.
So Scott Disick will like unfollow everyone on Instagram. Then he'll follow 75 accounts. And those 75 accounts are all 75 brand accounts. It could be like a mattress, a sock, a spoon, yeah. You know? And then Kim will like be sexy in the driveway with all of these gifts and be like, you have to follow me. You have to follow Scott Disick. And you have to follow everyone he's following. And I remember this. It was 75 things. So people would go through and press all the 75 people. Then it is a raffle and people do win.
Yeah.
So like
someone
one person.
Someone does get a bunch of stuff, which is great.
Oh, yeah. People get like bags shipped to their house, and like it's always on these weird prepaid credit cards too, so like they get these credit
also
cards.
We should think about this. When you win something like that,
you have to write it off.
No, you have to pay taxes.
Oh, sorry, that's what I mean. Yeah, you have to pay taxes.
So
on
like
it.
Say you win $250,000 in stuff, the IRS is going to come looking come tax time for a third of that.
That's so not fair.
And a normal
human being
does not have that money to pay that tax, so they end up having to sell a lot of it.
Or I guess they just aren't aware, so they spend all $250 when they should really only spend, like, I don't know, $175 or something.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? Like, I don't know. I would be like, I followed all those 75 accounts, Mr. IRS. Like, I earned this, you know? I was a lucky duck. So basically, somebody exposed them, Sarah J. Moret on TikTok, because she was one of those brands that was paid to be one of the 75 accounts, or, like, offered. They're like, oh, do you want to pay $25,000 to be like a part of this? So it's just one of those weird things where, I mean, I guess it's legal. I guess it's above the board. I guess technically somebody wins. But to me, I'm just like, don't you have enough money? Like, don't you have enough? I don't know.
You know, I find it really interesting, especially now that like these the Kardashians are like quote unquote business people and they have streams of income from every which way, to see them do these like pretty like low brow giveaways or partnerships with brands that like are not household names or are just like random cash grabs. It's just like, damn, you really have no boundaries, or like you really have no moral compass.
Well, that's the thing. I think with a lot of these people, you imagine, right? Like I even think with me at the podcast, like the very first ad I ever got like a year ago, I was like, I'd do an ad for like anything. I don't care. Like I would like some money. I'll do an ad for anything. And then you get to this level where you're like, okay, like once I make enough, then I'll be able to say, there's a bunch where I've been like, not them. Like my audience wouldn't like that. And you imagine with the Kardashians, they would do the same, where once you're at freaking billionaire status, you're going to be like, I don't think I am going to ask people to follow 75 accounts to try to win a raffle. But it seems like for some people, it just never ends. Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
Now, the last thing I want to bring up here is how Kim Kardashian got fined and slapped on the wrist for what she did with crypto. So this was something you were talking about, right? But did you say SEC or did you say FTC?
So I had said that people aren't following FTC advertising guidelines.
FTC.
But the reason Kimmy got in trouble is because she actually did follow all the FTC guidelines. However, because she was peddling an investment product, she wasn't actually saying like, hey, go use like Coinbase or crypto.com, which is a platform. She was saying buy this specific investment. That goes into the realm of the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission.
That's the same thing, right? When Elon Musk was like, once it goes to 420, I'm going to make it public, LOL. Okay.
Yeah, because that was spoofing the market.
So once you're like,
once
you're telling people what to do in the market and you have a big platform and you're influencing that.
Well, and like telling someone to invest in something without being a financial advisor that can speak to retail investors is a problem.
Mm.
Like, especially when it's something that's an unregulated security like crypto.
So what is, so she ended up getting fined, by the way. She
had
to pay $1.26 million.
Which is nothing to her. It's like $70.
That makes me so sad.
Like to you, Shannon, if you were to get slapped with that equivalent fine, it would be $78.
78?
Yeah, it was like something ridiculously small, like less than $100.
I'd still fight it.
I know.
I'm like thinking about this medical bill I have that's 113, and I've been like calling up people for good. Months.
You should
I'm
be.
Like, come on, you
80%
know?
80% of medical bills have errors on them.
I feel like it's more. And thank God for Google. I'll just tell this story real quick. 2 years ago, I thought I had hemorrhoids. So I went to a doctor and he put a glove on and he stuck a finger up my ass and he went, "You have it. Go get Preparation H from CVS." And I was like, "Okay, cool. Thanks." 2 years later, I finally get the bill because they said that they weren't billing people because of like COVID. I was like, "Okay, whatever." And the CPT code said that the doctor put like an instrument, that he took a specimen from my ass, that it went to the lab. I'm like, trust me, I would have remembered if that happened.
Yeah.
So they tried to say the entire visit was like $1,600.
And you were like, no, this man just boop.
Which, by the way, like, people would have paid me to stick their finger up my ass. Anyway, so I called him like, the CPT code is wrong. Like, it should be this one, which is lower. And they're like, "Well, I don't know." And then you have to call your insurance.
Yeah, it's like an absolute nightmare, honestly.
It's wild. But anyway, like, don't ever blindly pay a medical bill.
Never.
And if you do have to pay it, just negotiate. Call up and say, "Could I get a 20% discount if I pay it all today?" And they'll say yes a lot of the times. Yeah.
If you're looking to make some sort of wellness change, maybe your metabolism wants a kickstart, maybe you're having gut issues, maybe you are feeling low energy, let me tell you a little bit about Sakara. Sakara's got a bunch of different things here. They have a flexible signature nutrition program. This is going to be different meals that are sent to your apartment, or maybe you live in a house. I'm just thinking about New York. But Sakara will deliver anywhere from 1, 2, 3 meals a day to you for you to eat, and they are jam-packed with so many different greens. I would say each different meal I've had of theirs, their salads are the types of salads that have like 20 different ingredients in it, which is great because let's be honest, we're all a little bit lazy at home and we're not going to make that ourselves. There's also great stuff on Sakara. I remember before I had their meal plans, I would buy my probiotics from them. They've got supplements on there. They've got different snacks. They've got super bars. They've got granolas. They've got different teas. So if you want to check out what Sakara has to offer, right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order. So go to sakara.com/fluently, or you can enter code fluently at checkout. So that is Sakara, sakara.com/fluently to get 20% off your first order.
Anyway, so she had to pay this. My question for you, I'm scared as shit about crypto because anytime I hear something about
it's sketchy.
It's so sketchy. So what's your view on crypto? Because like 2 years ago, it was the smartest thing in the world to get into. And now it just seems so like terrifying.
It was never the smartest thing in the world to
get
into.
What about Bitcoin like 10 years ago?
Okay, but here, let me break it down for you.
Yeah.
Crypto is not a bad investment. But the problem people have is that they get so excited that they're like, "I'm going to become the next Elon Musk. I'm so rich." They put all of their money into crypto.
Yeah.
I will be totally honest with you. I have $2,000 worth of Bitcoin. I have $2,000 worth of Ethereum just because I want to see where it goes. I'm curious. $4,000 is a teensy weensy tiny fraction of my investment portfolio.
Mm.
Like tiny. And what people get wrong is that you can invest in crypto, especially the big names, especially the stuff that has use cases.
Yeah, I've got some Bitcoin.
Yeah, like use case. Like the point of that is like, I understand wanting a decentralized currency. I get it. But people who are investing in like, what was Kim's thing? Ethereum Max. That's not Ethereum.
Yeah.
That's a completely different shit coin somebody made up. And it's literally a pump and dump scheme where the people who make this random ass shit coin, they get people to, they pay a bunch of money for big time influencers to pump people into it.
Yeah, like once Logan it goes Paul up, does this.
Yes,
yeah.
Once it goes up in price, they lock the liquidity. All the founders sell their stake, and then whoop,
and leave people to just lose
hold
it.
The bag. They're holding the bag.
Isn't that wild?
It's so fucked up.
Yeah,
it's also criminal. Like it's illegal to do that.
Yeah,
and like I think the problem is. Our society right now is more technologically advanced than ever, and technology is growing faster than ever with AI, with everything. But like our government, our lawmaking, our lawmaking processes and the policies that they create are a zillion years behind, and they cannot keep up.
It is wild. Even like if you get a passport, they're like, send in this check to like this address. I'm like, oh my God, like we're so screwed. Like you can't even do it online.
You're like, I can't PayPal you this.
Let me Venmo you.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild. Okay, well, as we wrap things up here, I want to like ask you some final kind of rapid fire questions about what you think. First of all, an easy one. Your favorite Kardashian, your least favorite?
Okay. Favorite, I have to say Kim, just because she is.
Okay, mine's Kris.
Oh, well, okay. I didn't realize that was an option. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I like Kris a lot. But I will say, I think Kim works very hard, so I'll keep with my answer. And me she was too. The one who made them all famous.
Also, like, I will say, if there was something bad, if she was a bitch, people would be so ready to call her a bitch. And the fact that she's had nothing but, like, a good reputation for the last 20 years, like, people say good things about her, she's probably really nice. Yeah. Okay, who's your least favorite?
Probably Kourtney.
Oh, okay, mine's probably Kendall.
I just think Kourtney, like, she's the least hardworking.
Yeah.
She just gives me the ick. Her and Travis Barker give me the ick.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime somebody open mouths kiss, I don't want to see that. Yeah. You know, put it away.
Yeah.
Put it away. Go to that church and put it away.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of predictions, where do you think this family will be in the next 5 years? And financially, what do you see happening to the Kardashian empire as they continue?
You know, I think financially, they're only going to continue to rise. Frankly, I hate to say that, but I think it's the truth. Because once you get to a certain level of wealth, as long as you are being relatively responsible, which they are, like, they're fine, they'll continue to invest that money and it'll continue to grow, especially as Kim takes on that private equity fund, Sky Partners.
Yeah,
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, business mindset, I don't know. I think, like, I'm always of the camp of, like, being like the hot girl of the moment is a fleeting thing, but they've managed to squeeze it for all it's worth. And I think they'll probably continue to be able to do so.
And they'll get their little kids in on the grift too. You know? Absolutely wild to see. And I'm really nervous.
Because North is making an appearance at everything. And I think she's really starting to get in on the family business.
Yeah. And you know those kids, like the minute they're like, they're not going to wait until 18. They're going to have those kids involved in something at a really young age. So I agree with you. I think that you got to say, like, it is a talent to stick around in Hollywood. So we'll probably be seeing more of them. So I'll have to have you back the next time they get sued by someone.
It's going to be quick, I'm sure.
Yeah. So we'll just have to wait for that. So tell everyone once again where they can find your podcast and they can listen to our episode over on there where we talked about Nepo babies and some celebrity scandals, etc.
Yeah. I am Vivian too, and you can find me across social media as Your Rich BFF, and you can listen to Net Worth and Chill, my podcast, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on.
Of course. Thanks for having me.